25th chapter, we want to be encouraged this morning in the Lord. And as I was listening to the choir sing the Psalm of David, "One thing have I desired of thee, Lord, that I may behold thy face, inquire in thy temple, dwell in thy presence," I was reminded of what the scripture says that about who those are that are going to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Jesus told a parable here in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning to read in the 14th verse. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And we see here the promise to those who are faithful in using and employing those abilities which are God-given, those resources which are God-given. Jesus said that when we take what he has given to us according to our ability and employ it profitably in the work of the kingdom, that we receive from him a well-done, good and faithful servant. We become responsible over more, and we enter then into the joy of the Lord. He said in the rest, remaining verses 22 through 24, to the man who had turned the 2 talents into 4, he gave him the same promise, faithful stewardship over the abilities which had been given to them. However, to the man who had received 1, verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. In other words, put it in the bank at least, and let me get some interest on it. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we see that it behooves Christians and it behooves churches to be faithful in their stewardship over the abilities and the resources which God has given them. Today I want to give you a partial accounting concerning the stewardship of this congregation, and I want us to be encouraged today by this examination. I want to begin in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, if you'll turn there with me, please. Hebrews, chapter number 6. I'm going to read a passage beginning at the 7th verse and comment as I go. Hebrews, chapter 6. I believe that you'd probably feel as I do, and that is, I don't want to arrive at the presence of Jesus only to find out then whether I'm going to enter into his joy or whether I'm going to be tossed into the weeping and gnashing. I'd kind of like to have an idea ahead of time. What do you think? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs or plant life, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The principle here is once again the same, that to whom much is given, much is required. And the earth that gets the rain deposited upon it, that brings forth fruit and vegetables which are good, receives God's blessing. But that earth which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and the produce of it is burned and is cast away. The apostle uses this analogy to describe the choices that we have to make as Christians, whether it be individual Christians, families, or families of believers known as churches, local congregations. Verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, God does not forget whatever we or individually or collectively do in his name, any work or any labor that we accomplish, because it is motivated not by selfishness, but a motivation of love. God is not unrighteous or unfair or unequitable that he would forget that work or forget that labor, because we have done it as unto him, as we minister to others, as we have done and as we do. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I want to share with you a few of the things that are going on in our ministry together today. And the information that is in your bulletin today is a part of that. But there's some other things that I've been accumulating over the past couple of weeks, looking for an opportunity to share it with you. And I just felt today would be an appropriate time to do it. The apostle said that his desire was motivated by the Holy Spirit, and that all of us should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, that we should build on what we have and continue to move ahead as far as the future is concerned. That ye be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, using here Abraham as an example. Now, as you know, we're involved, this congregation involved in a number of ministries, both local and national and worldwide. Some of the things that the congregation is doing, I'm not sure that you're even aware of, and I want to share some of those with you today. And I have some other scripture I want to share too before we are finished this morning. But I'd like to take just a few moments and share some things that are going on in the ministry. How many of you know that Ken Sumrall in Pensacola, Florida? If I say Ken Sumrall, how many of you know that name? If I say Liberty Church or Liberty Bible College in Pensacola, Florida, how many of you know that name? Okay. Ken Sumrall is a former Southern Baptist pastor and started Liberty Church when he received the left foot of fellowship from the Baptist church after he received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And the church has grown and prospered there in Pensacola. And he founded Bible college, which is training pastors and other Bible students and so on, Christian workers, and has been involved in that for some time. We received a letter from them about 3 months ago, I believe, in which he said that the Lord had shown he and his people that they were to start a liberal arts Christian four-year college in addition to the Bible college. And he was asking for individuals or churches that would be willing to work with him to underwrite the establishment costs, which was going to be, I think, in the neighborhood of $1 million. That figure is familiar to me. I'm not sure that that's the figure. But he was asking for churches or individuals who would give $1,000 this year and $1,000 next to help them establish the college so that they would be able to begin in September of 1986, which would be a year away. I felt moved to cooperate with them on that and shared that with the elders. They felt likewise. One of the difficulties that we have as parents is finding good Christian colleges close by where we can send our young people. We have young people in this congregation right now who would love to be going to a Christian college, but there's not one close enough. It's not feasible for them. And as a result, they have to go to the secular universities and are troubled because of that need. And so since Pensacola, because of the proximity of Pensacola, and also because we know the man's ministry and the work that they're doing, we felt led to be involved with them. And we sent them $1,000 and committed to send another $1,000 next year. I received this letter from Mr. Summerall, and I wanted to share it with you today. Thank you for your church gift of $1,000 for Liberty Christian College. Everything is on schedule. God is causing our friends to respond favorably to the needed project. Praise the Lord. I am very grateful for your support. Please ask the church to pray for us. Blessings and love, Ken Summerall. So I wanted you to know about that and about that particular work so that you would be able to pray for Brother Ken and for the work that he's doing down there. How many of you receive the messenger at your home? We send about 15,000 copies of the messenger into our community every 6 weeks, approximately. The comments that come from that ministry are just really a blessing. I received this letter recently from a recent issue of the messenger, and I wanted to share it with you today. Dear Brother or Reverend Victor Rockhill, she was covering herself there. The writing is obviously an elderly person, and you'll find in the letter that she is. The writing is a little erratic. I just wanted write to tell you how I'm reading it now exactly the way it is. I just wanted write to tell you how I enjoy the messenger paper I get. I read all, some of it twice. I belong to Liberty Baptist Church at Winston. Our pastor is Brother Marvin Gunner. I am 71 years old. My Lord, always bless you in your work. Hope, pray you, church, do well to remember me and our church in your prayers, Sister in Christ, Queenie Ward. Yesterday, I received a call from a lady, 76 years old. She has an 87-year-old husband. They live over on Fairburn Road. They have called here before. We've ministered to them over the telephone. She says, I see your picture on the back of the newspaper, and you just appear to be such a kind man. And, of course, I had plenty of time to talk with her, you know, and she just see that quality in me. And I thought just how perceptive she was. And how accurate the camera was in portraying that quality. Seriously, my prayer is that that's true, because kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit of God. But she's called here from time to time, and we've ministered to her. She's elderly and weak and sick and just has many things wrong with her. Her 87-year-old husband cares for her. She's not able to get around. And she calls for prayer from time to time, and she called me at home yesterday and just needed prayer. The morning was such that she doesn't have a local church. She's a born-again believer, Spirit-filled believer, but she doesn't have much word in her, even at 76 years old. And it's just so difficult that she is, from time to time, just needs prayer very badly. And she'll call from time to time for prayer. We have from time to time in our services folks that will come because they saw the messenger, and that is reaching into many homes and doing. I know God's using that particular work. We've been involved for some years with the work of the Good Samaritan Center in town, and along with 17 other churches who are involved in a financial way, we have ministered this year to 318 families in Douglas County. Just in the area of financial assistance alone. Now, there are 18 churches involved this year in a financial way. Water of Life Christian Center supported over a third. of that work. The other 17 churches, the remaining two-thirds. In prior years, we've done as much as 75%. But as other churches have come in, we've been able to do less and less and still get the same needs met. We had 318 families who either had an electric bill paid or a gas bill paid or a water bill paid or a rent bill paid or had some clothing provided, or they were traveling through here and were stranded, had no cash, no food, no gas money, or needed some special prescription drugs or some special diet needs, something of that nature. 318 families were ministered to through the Good Samaritan Center so far this year through the end of September. In addition to that, over 1,300 people were given food. That's a lot of hungry folks. And your offerings are going in part to supply those needs. And I thought that would be interesting to you, for you to know that that many people are being helped and that you're involved in that. In your bulletin today is a newsletter, the first newsletter published by the Crisis Pregnancy Center. This ministry is supported 100%, Judy, by Water of Life Christian Center and by donations from individuals within the center. I had no idea that when that ministry was opened on July the 1st, that we would have 50 women come through there in 3 months who had crisis pregnancies and needed help. There were, if you'll read, as you read this at your leisure, you will find that that those 50 people saw the informative and educational film on abortion, along with a dozen other folks who came as support for them. So over 60 people have seen that information, have received that presentation. 15 of the 20 women whose initial intention was to have an abortion or were undecided about it, 15 of those women decided against having the abortion. Now that's 15 ladies who have been spared great agony. Now their troubles aren't over, but they've been spared great spiritual and emotional agony in avoiding destroying those babies. And those are 15 babies whose lives have been spared in a period of 3 months. There are 6 women that we know of who came to Christ right there in the Crisis Pregnancy Center. 4 of the women who were pregnant and 2 of their friends. There have been others this month that I've been hearing about. And God only knows how many of these young women have come to the Lord, not there in the center, but after they've been ministered to and have gone back home. But there's at least 6 who came in lost and who went out knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. I think that is something that the Lord will not forget with regard to this ministry and this people. And then, let me share this with you. This blessed the elders so much that they asked me, would I share this with you? Some months ago, we received a letter from a prisoner in the Alabama prison system. He had become familiar with a PTL ministry, and he wrote PTL. And PTL sent him my name and the name of the church, and he wrote us. And he told me he was a Christian, and he asked me if, he said he did not have a Bible, and could we supply a Bible for him, or did we know somebody who could get a Bible to him, and also anything else that might be of help to him in his Christian growth. And so we decided to not send him one of our $2 black Bibles, but to go buy him a nice leather Bible and put his name on it and just bless him, you know, with a $50 Bible. And so we went up to the bookstore, and in addition, we got him a little Strong's Concordance and a Bible dictionary, and I sent him also some of the study materials that we've used here on Wednesday night. We just made him up a package and sent to him. He was transferred one prison to the next, and the package took a little while to get to him. But when it finally got there, he writes me back, and he says, "Dear Pastor V.P. Rockhill, received your letter with them Bible dictionaries. They were great, especially Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Complete and Unabridged Compact Edition. with dictionaries of Hebrew and Hebrew words by James Strong. Do you think he's reading it? Huh? I can tell you he didn't sell it to buy dope. And Smith's Bible Dictionary was all right. I like the other dictionary better. It was a blessing to me to receive the Bible and booklets of study. They are helpful material. And now that I have my own concordance dash dictionary for the Bible, I will be able to get deeper into the Word of God. A Christian brother and I sit up a lot at night and study the Word a lot. And now we ask questions out of the Smith's Bible Dictionary, and it's very inspirational to us. Pastor, if at all possible you have any books, Christian material, I surely would like to receive whatever you will send to me. When I get out January 20, 1986, I plan on coming and visiting you and your ministry, because you all have brought me and my life closer to the Lord, and I want to thank you for your help. I pray that the Lord Jesus will be with you all and richly bless you all and keep all of you from any harm. Did you know you had a prisoner in Alabama praying for you? Woo! So he's got plenty of time to pray. He's got more time than... I wonder if maybe that's what the Word says, to visit those that are in prison and to, you know, to minister to them. Doesn't your heart just reach out to this young man? Amen. That he will richly bless you and keep all of you from any harm, danger, or sickness. And most of all, bless you for letting that special light he put into your heart flow to other people, prisoners, and through this special world. For the love of the Lord Jesus has special powers for his followers. My favorite passages are Psalms 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, you just can't put a man's heart in prison. It seems I've always liked Psalm 23. And Pastor Victor, I want you all to know this. I love you all through Jesus, our blessed Savior, who gives new and everlasting life for all who comes to him and accepts him into their lives. I've always feared death, but now I don't. For now I have the love of the Lord. And I know he won't let me go until my work for him is done on earth. When the trumpets of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the roll is called up yonder, I know I'll be there. Praise God. In time, I know I will visit you, and when I do, that moment will be a blessing to meet you all. For I see the love of the Lord through you. And if I would not have take time and thought and wrote you, I'd be lost in sin. You and your ministry are special, and thank you again. Through our love, with love through our master, Dale Matthew Schrock. God bless you all and watch over each and every one of you and your families. Does that bless your heart? Yes. And then I got another letter from another prisoner in Alabama again, but I don't believe there's any connection here, because let me read it to you. Another prison. Dear sir, Mr. VP Rock Hill Pastor. I don't know how to say it exactly, so just say everything. Sir, Mr. Pastor. Thank God he didn't say reverend. Pastor Rock Hill, I am an incarcerated prisoner in the Alabama prison system. I attend church regularly, and a free world lady from Montgomery comes to this prison monthly to play our piano. A free world lady. Somebody from outside. The last time she came out to play for us, we were discussing the Bible, And she said that I should try to get an Old Testament to go with my New Testament. I told her that I don't have anyone in the free world to help me. And she gave me your address. Now, I don't know who this free world lady is from Montgomery who knows our address and my name. She said that she had heard of you and your work, and she advised me to contact you. Pastor Rockhill, as I've stated, I don't have anyone in the free world to help me, so the only money I get is $1 a month state pay. But I will be willing to pay for a good Old and New Testament if you help me obtain one. I would especially like to have one with the references in it. Kind of reminds you of the widow and her two mites, doesn't it? Pastor Rockhill, please write me at the closed address, even if you can't help me. Maybe you can direct me to the people who would be kind enough to help me buy a Bible for $1 a month. Also, Pastor Rockhill, if you have anyone in your church who would like to correspond with me to learn and study the Bible through fellowship, please forward my name and address to them. Thanking you in advance for your concern and continuing consideration for your fellow Christian, I remain respectfully Charlie T. Kolb, Mount Meigs, Alabama. So we went out and bought another $50 Bible and put Charlie's name on it and made him up a package and sent it to them. I was going to send these fellows some tapes, but they can't have any tapes, so they have all kinds of books and so on. So those are just a few of the things that God is doing through your offerings and through the ministry and the work that we have here together. And I'm encouraged today, and I want you to be, that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I tell you, only heaven will reveal what God has been able to do through this church and through this people. So much of it, we just really have no idea. I'm confident that God has used us from the first day to this and is still using us. I'm encouraged in that. There's much more that we have to do. But yet I have a lift in my spirit this morning, and I pray you do as well, that which we're doing is beneficial and of value. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. I'd like for you to read this verse aloud, please, with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Be ye what?
Steadfast.
Be ye what else?
Unmovable.
And what else?
Always
abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. Why? Because it's not empty. And regardless of what it is, regardless of how small it may seem, here's a Bible to a prisoner. It does not seem like much. But I remember the Apostle Paul was many times a prisoner. A box of groceries or a bag of groceries in the name of Jesus to somebody that's hungry doesn't sound like very much, but to that person who's hungry, it's right important. And to the Lord who said, I was hungry and you fed me, it's right important as well. To the little baby who is still only a few inches long and only weighs a few grams, who has no idea how close he or she came to death, I guess you'd call that important. And to the God in whose image that human being is created, I guess you'd say to him it would be important as well, wouldn't you? To this academy and to the children who are involved in what's going on here in the academy. To those who listen to the radio programming. By the way, we're off the air today. Trouble with the transmitter. Are we on the air again? Thank God. We're going to stay on, too. God's not unrighteous to forget what we're doing, and therefore let us always abound in that work of the Lord, knowing that whatever we do,
is not in vain. That our labor is not in vain. I want you to understand this today, beloved. Our labor does not have to produce tangible, visible results in order for it to be profitable. God did not say in His word through the apostle that only those things which we see validate our labor. He said, your labor in the Lord, whether you can see the results of it or not, is not vanity. It's not empty. It's not fruitless. But it's fruitful. In the same way that the rain falls on the earth and it brings forth good growth, you can't see it growing. But one day you see the result of the activity of that rain. And so it is with our labors. Now, if you still have your Bible open there, just jump over a page, or so it is on my Bible, it's just the opposite page, to the 15th chapter, verses 9 and 10. The reason that our labor is not empty, even if it does not produce the magnitude of visible results, evidentiary results that we want, the labor's not in vain because it's in the Lord. If we're doing it ourselves, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it, you know, from Psalm 118, is it? Psalm 118. If we labor in our own strength, because it was God's grace in Him that was operating, it was His labor in the Lord that caused it not to be empty and caused it not to be vain. Now let's go to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, and let's read several verses there. Galatians chapter 6, beginning to read in the 7th verse. Now this, I believe, is word for our church today. It's word for me. I trust it'll be a rhema word for you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now the principle is this. God returns to us what we sow. As a man sows in like kind, and we're going to see in just a moment, in like quantity, as a man sows, that will he also reap. What a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption and decay and destruction, because that's the destination of the flesh. But if we sow to things spiritual and things godly, then we will reap those kind of eternal benefits and those kind of eternal rewards. Verse 9 says that we want to not be weary in our well-doing, that we don't want to get tired of doing that which is good and that which is right, simply because, well, for whatever reason, it makes no difference what the reason is, that we must not be weary in our well-doing. For we will reap. Why? Because God's law says, what a man sows, that he'll also reap. His word says that we will reap when? 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 When is the due season? When is that season? Give me a date. Come on, I want to know, man. What day is that? Well, give me a year at least. Tell me when. You can't tell me, can you? Why not? Because God hadn't spoken that to you yet? You don't know because God only knows. And until He tells you, you can't speak it. It's due season. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be after we're long gone. But in due season, we'll reap. If we what? What does that mean? If we don't stop and if we don't quit. All right? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We have a great many needs right here in this congregation. We have many needs of great size. May I say this to you this morning? We could decide that this is all we want to do for the kingdom of God and just stop right here. We could be very comfortable. We have a few seats left. Some Sundays we don't have any, but that's all right. You know, it's not important that everybody get in who wants to. Besides, if they want to come, they want a seat, just let them come early. That way they'll get a seat. And the ones that don't come early enough, they just have to go home or go somewhere else. We don't really have to have any more space. I mean, we're fine. We love each other. We got a good family here, and we got a good, safe environment for our kids, and we enjoy being together and so on. We don't really need any more people. Our academy doesn't really have to grow. We've got 100 and some odd students there, and we'll just provide for the additional grades as we go, but we'll keep it nice and small. We just combine some grades, and we can work it out okay. We don't have to take on any new projects. We don't have to open up any more ministries. We just handle what we got and say we got more than we can say grace over now, and we just trust the Lord to show us how to handle these things and just not move on any further. I believe if we did that, however, we'd repudiate everything God's done here. I think that would be a terrible error for us. I think it'd be a terrible mistake. I can tell you it'd be a lot easier on me if we do that. See, it'd be a lot easier on me if we didn't do anything except just have church. This would be a right nice job. But God didn't call me to a job. He called me to a life. And He called me to a ministry. And He called me to service. I told our elders some years ago, I'm sure they remember it, because from time to time I remind them of it, if there's any danger that we're forgetting it. I'm not an empire builder. Now, don't you misunderstand me. I think you know me better than that. But God has given me a ministry, a building. And I've said to our elders from time to time that on the day that our church stops and starts counting its assets and putting walls around it and say, this is it, that's the day we need a new pastor. Jesus wants for His kingdom increase. He committed to His followers a certain number of talents, and He said the least you could have done was put it in the bank so when I come back, I'd get not only my talent but get some interest with it. I want growth. My whole nature is increase. That's the way the kingdom comes. And so I know that the Lord wants us to continue to move in these areas that He's called us to. Now, what kind of reaping can we expect? We saw in Galatians 6 that what a man sows, that he will also reap. And we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians 9, the amount that he sows will determine the amount that he reaps. I'm going to read one verse, the 6th. I have some others I want to read here too, but I want to read just the 6th verse for now. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Believest thou this? Believest thou this?
Amen.
He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I have sown personally bountifully. I'm reaping bountifully. I expect to continue to reap bountifully. As a church, we have sown bountifully. Many of you do not know that this congregation is sowing into other people's ministries and into outreach ministries of our own half of all the money that comes in here. And we've been doing that for 2 years. We've, you know, worked up to that figure. That's a bountiful sowing. That's a bountiful sowing. You know, there are very few churches, we don't have this church paid for yet. There are lots of churches that have been in existence hundreds of years, tens of years, that aren't tithing. Many, many churches. By any standard that you establish, whether it is the standard of the brethren, other congregations, or whether it is the standard of God's word which establishes the tithe, This congregation is a bountiful planter. Has always been. This church tithed before we ever owned a hymn book. This church tithed before we ever owned a chair. This church tithed before we ever paid a staff member, including a pastor. This church tithed before we ever owned a square foot of ground. This church tithed before we ever had any other expenses of our own. Perhaps the only thing we ever bought before we tithed was maybe cookies for the nursery. And I'm not even sure about that. One of the first decisions that we made as a congregation was we're going to tithe. If we never have a church, if we never have a chair, if we never have a hymnal, if we never have a pastor, if we never have anything, we're going to be faithful to do what God told us to do, and we're going to give and plant and sow bountifully. And since that time, the congregation has been continually increasing in its bounty. Now, if God's word is true about anything, it's true about this, and that is this congregation is going to reap in a bountiful way. We have planted and planted and planted and planted and planted, and my God and your God is not unrighteous. He is not unfair to forget that labor of love. Jesus said, do not store up your treasures here on earth where the moths get in and those thieves break in and steal and the rust gets in and destroys it and consumes it, but lay up your treasures in heaven. That's where we've been laying them since day one. I'd like to part heaven and I'd like to look in that heavenly bank. I bet if we could do that this morning, we would be staggered at the size of that account. Staggered. Laid up treasures in heaven. We don't have any savings accounts. Savings accounts. We've never lacked for anything. But we've never accumulated any substantial cash reserves. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now I want you to jump down to the 8th verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Would you say that with me? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Say all grace.
All grace.
Toward you.
Toward you.
Abounding.
Abounding.
God is able.
God is able.
To make all grace.
Abound
toward you. And what will happen when God does that? That ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Now watch that. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Guess what? We have all sufficiency in all things. Sometimes we think we don't, but we do. Why do I say that? Don't I want more and don't I want to expand our work? Yes, yes, with all my heart I do. But I also believe we have all sufficiency for all things. And God causes those things to abound towards us so that having all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound to every good work. I don't believe there's a work God wants us to do that we are not already abounding in. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. In other words, God is not unrighteous. He's righteous. And how long does that remain? Forever. He's always like that. He's dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. He's provided what's needed. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. In other words, Jesus told us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And multiply your seed sown. Now, if we have bountifully sown our seed, God's promise here is to do what to that seed sown? To multiply it. And increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The Lord will provide for us all sufficiency The Lord will make all things abound to us that we have need of in order to accomplish His every good work. He will multiply the seed that we've sown so that we'll be enriched in everything. Say everything.
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 Say to all bountifulness.
To all bountifulness.
Not just enough to get a buy on.
Not just enough to get a buy on.
But bountifully.
Bountifully.
That's the way He'll provide, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. I struggle with these things, as I'm sure you do, many of you do. But I don't know what to tell you except I'm satisfied with God. I'm just satisfied with Him. I'm satisfied with His provision. I'm satisfied with His time. I'm satisfied with His plan. I want so much more. I want a larger auditorium. I believe this size of this auditorium is restrictive for us. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord this week, find out whether or not He's spoken to us along these lines and we've missed Him. I've missed Him. I'm going to try to find that out. But this is what I'd like to see. I believe that we're restricting ourselves. It's kind of like... I don't think I'll use that example. It may hit you too close to home. all right, let me give you this example. At your house, you have a garage that is big enough to hold your Volkswagen. And... you'd really like to drive a Cadillac. But your garage is not big enough. And you won't have any place to put your Cadillac. And so the garage restricts, doesn't you? And hinders you and hampers you and kind of hems you in so that you cannot expand in that area. That's a problem for you. I see that as a problem for us. I believe our space is just too small. We need classroom space, need it real bad for our academy, especially next year. We're doing okay now, but we're going to need space next year. Those two are real pressing needs. One of the things which we need here in our church, I'm concerned about the amount of work that we put on our secretary. She's not here this morning. I can talk about this. We put a tremendous amount of work on her. I don't know a lot of girls who'd be able to handle what she does. But we just don't have any place to put anybody else. We don't have any more space. I would love to have someone working with me in the ministry doing visitation and counseling. Just taking those two things. We've got some other things I'd like to do too, but just those. I don't have any place to put him. And you can't really give him a hanger, you know, and set him up in a ministry like that. See? And so we're hemmed in because of these constraints. But I confess to you today that God has abounded unto us in all sufficiency.
Amen.
See? In all sufficiency, and He's our shepherd and we don't want. Now that may sound like I'm double-minded, but it's not. Some of you will understand this. I'm just praying the due season is right around the corner. And I'm expecting the Lord to speak to me this week about some of these things. But if He doesn't say anything but wait, that'll be all right. Or stand. Or move. Or something. Be fine. But if nothing, I want you to know I'm just satisfied. I'm not frustrated. I know that God is not unrighteous to forget what we have done, because we've not done it in our own names. We've not done it in our own strength. We've done it in the name of the Lord, and we've done it unto Him. And I know it's not empty, and I know it's not vain. I want you to stand with me this morning, please. Before I do that, a verse just came to me. From Galatians here. Let me just read it and see.
See if I want to share it with you. I'm reading here from Galatians 4. Just listen to this a minute. I'm reading just a couple of verses here. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord quickening this today. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. It's like what the Lord was imparting to me there was, it's like a king who has a son, and he wants the son to follow him, but the son has to be prepared. And what does he do with the son? He schools him and he trains him and he develops him and so on, even though he's the heir to the throne. You don't put the child on the throne when he's 3 years old, or 7, or 8, or even 13, unless you need to press him in because the old man dies. But you don't put him into that when he's young, but you prepare him. You're continually preparing him until the time appointed of the Father. That when it's time that the preparation is completed and you have the prince ready, so to speak, that he knows what it's like to be a king, and he knows he's got the wisdom to make the decisions he has to make, and he's got the insights, and he knows how to govern and how to rule. You don't want a child ruling you. You want a mature man ruling you. I mean, isn't that, does that make sense to you? And I wonder, he's not speaking it prophetically to me today, but it's like rolling around in my spirit as if this is what's going on in the congregation. Tutoring, under the tutor and under the governor, as the church we are, I mean, until the time appointed of the Father. Well, I'll just give that to you and let the Lord press it on your spirit.